Welcome back to another episode of the Tyson James Podcast, a therapy session for Kid from the Projects. And on today's episode, I really want to acknowledge the incredible job my father, my dad, Freddie James Utsi, has done and being a father and being a day one daddy and being a present active father in my life. Now, before I start the show, I will say this. 36 years old. I think my father is 73. And as I am becoming, and my father is very strong-willed, and so am I, we are starting to have differences at this point in my life, which I never thought that we would have because we've been so close my entire life. But that doesn't take away from how much I love him and how I couldn't be the person that I am today and have achieved the things that I have achieved if Freddie wasn't my father. So big shout out to him. Taught me a lot of things that I know. He instilled and ingrained a lot of things in me that basically some people have to work for or try to do, whereas myself, these things are innately, these things are innately inside of me. So, for example, every day I wake up about 4:30 a.m. No alarm clock necessary. This is from years upon years, decades of watching my father get up at 4-5 o'clock in the morning and also waking me up as well. Not all the time, but a lot of times. And my dad would say, you know, my dad, he has his own landscaping company. And as I became a teenager, when it was time to go to work, he would say and mean things like, when I get up tomorrow morning and I'm walking out the door, your ass better be up and ready to go. And for those times that I did not get up and be ready to go, he definitely had a lesson there for me. I can remember one time very vividly that he told me those exact words. And that previous night, you know, I'm a teenager, so you know, I'm on the phone, I'm hanging out with my friends, you know, I'm doing whatever. I'm not thinking about going to work and doing none of those things. I got my mind on teenager things. So my father, the next day, true to his word and his actions, he gets up. He doesn't wake me up. He gets dressed, he gets ready to go, and then he go and do what he got to do to provide for. At the time, he was providing for myself, my sister. He's married. My stepbrother was also living in the house. And my dad also does a lot of things for a lot of people. So he's a provider, to say the least. So, you know, he get up, he got to do his thing, whatever. He get up, he do his thing. Now, I'm in the bed sleep. You know, once I finally wake up, it's probably about 10 a.m. or so. So, you know, I get up, I'll get do my thing, brush my teeth, whatever. My dad had a basketball court outside for me. So after I get dressed, I go outside, go in my dad's office. I he had a boombox in his office. I take the boombox outside, put my DMX CD in, and I'm on a basketball court outside, and I'm going crazy. hot summer day. I'm outside talking to myself. I'm in a full torrential sweat. I mean, I'm going crazy. So after a few hours go by, I'm pretty hungry now. So I go back in the house. I call my dad and I ask him, can he bring me something to eat? And he said that he was out working and he can't stop doing what he was doing to bring me something to eat. And I was pretty frustrated by it because I was hungry. I wanted what I wanted, but my father was somewhere working and being productive. So later on that night, at the end of the night, you know, he comes home and he come in the house. He got Fishbone with him, which is a food place over in the West Trenton area. Comes home, I could smell it as he's coming up the steps. And ooh, in my salivate, I'm like, ooh, I know daddy done bought me some of that chicken and some of them collard greens. I know he got that nasty ass iced tea with him. I don't want that. I want that chicken. So I'm all excited. He coming up the steps. He's a little tired. He's dreary. I can see it all over his face. And I'm there. I'm enthusiastic. I'm excited. Dad, where my food at? What you get me? What you get me? What you get me? And he like, I told your ass last night that when I get up to go to work, that you will have yourself dressed and be ready to go. You did not. I did not bring you anything to eat. This is for me. I'm hungry. I done worked all day. And then he continues to go to his room. Now I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, hungry and confused. What the hell is going on here? Why ain't getting nothing to eat? I found out why I ain't getting nothing to eat. I didn't take my black ass to work. You don't work, you don't eat. It was a lesson in that. And my father, throughout my life, the way that he teaches and the lessons that I've learned. Now, I'm sure there are some lessons that I have not learned yet because he continues to teach and to talk and to be an example of things. And I really appreciate those things. At the times when these certain teachings was going on, I didn't like it or I couldn't appreciate it. But I can say now today, as a 36-year-old man, I got some of these lessons. And now I know for a fact that if you don't work, you don't eat. So this is why every single day is not a day that don't go by that I'm not trying to do something to better myself and to, you know, just add value and be productive in any way that I could and stay consistent on my works and my effort and my journey in building the things that I'm building. And I know that I would not be where I am today also if it wasn't for my father. I couldn't be the man that I am today. My father has been more than excellent. You know, my father would take me to work with him. You know, he has his own business and he also is a director at another place. And, you know, he's been there for a while. And growing up, seeing my dad be, you know, mainly the boss on every site, you know, was definitely something to be proud of, something to admire. And you know, I looked up to him. I still look up to him in certain ways. I mean, I don't think that you could ask for a better father. And, you know, my dad is not an easy, how can I say this? He doesn't make my life easy, but my dad never gave me false hope or kick it to me like life is easy. He never has, and he still doesn't to this day. Hold on, my sister is actually calling me right now. Maisha. I'm on you on my podcast. Say what up.
Hello. I'm on the way to bring the dog down there.
All right, cool. Hold on. Before you go, I'm home, so bring him on over. I'm doing a podcast about our father and how great he was, or is. He is. Yes. How great he is. And, you know, you're my sister. We have the same mother and father. Would you like to share any great moments, stories, or lessons that daddy has taught you, or any type of way that, you know, you can explain how great of a man that he is?
Yeah, he taught me to always get this money.
Come on. It's got to be deeper than that.
Everybody. Well, you know, I'll go sick.
Well, I know that when you look at daddy, you know, I can see a certain type of spark or love that you have for him. I thought that it would be pretty damn easy for you to talk about Freddie.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. He taught me always to be humble and be yourself.
That is another thing that our father has done a great job at, is drilling in our head and teaching us how to be our authentic selves without influence from the world. He teaches you how to be you and not to look at other people's stuff. He always say, keep the focus on yourself.
Yeah, if you keep the focus on yourself, the world will be a better place.
Amen. So, all right, I'm here. I'm going to just keep doing my podcast. Say bye.
Bye. Talk to you guys later. All right. I wanted to tell you, so I could show you something real quick so I could make a vacation.
All right. Well, just we'll talk about that when you get here. I'm doing my show right now.
All right. Well, I'll take a picture of him and let me know if he'll like it.
All right.
I'm on the way down here.
All right. I'm here. All right. That was my little sister. And, you know, he's been monumental in both of our lives. My dad is a phenomenal father. And if everybody had a dad like him, the world would surely be a better place. One of the other things my dad used to tell me as a child, and it took me so long to get this. He had probably been telling me this since I've been maybe 5, 6, or 7. He says, boy, you can't see the forest from the trees. And it took me such a long time just to grasp this simple saying. You can't tell the forest from the trees. I think I was about 24 or so when I finally understood what he said. It finally dawned on me that if you're in the forest, all you can see is the trees that's in front of you. You can't see the whole forest. You can only see the trees that's around you, letting me know that there is a bigger picture. There is a wider view than the one that I could currently see. That lesson has also been very monumental in my life, because I know that regardless of what I think or what I think that I know at the present time, that's not always the whole story just because that's what I think or that's what I think I know at the time. Because as a person myself, I'm continuously evolving and becoming more, not being hindered by the old things that I learned or things that I thought I knew. I'm always open to learning more and being more and doing more and not being stuck on, you know, old things that I know. So, you know, my father has been great. We spent basically 32 years together. And for most of my life, my father was my best friend. Of course, I had other friends, but, you know, I could call my dad and confide in my dad. And, you know, we would talk for hours. I mean, even when I was, you know, a baby, he would come see me wherever I was at, whether I was at my mom's house or my grandmom's house or wherever I was. When he wanted to see me, he wanted to see me. And it wasn't every now and again. It was all the time. And my dad poured into me. He truly did. I could remember, excuse me, I just got finished eating breakfast. So I can remember times where I was at my nana house. My dad, he drove this black Ford. I don't even know what it was, but it was clean though. Four-door Ford back in the 90s. And I can remember one time him coming by to my nana house. And we didn't leave or anything. I came outside. We sat in the car. It was just him and I. And we talked for hours. I mean, hours upon hours. You know, and I'm a little kid. And, you know, it was important to my dad that he spent that time with me. And he was a major influence on my life. One of the reasons why I've only been in jail one time for 9 days. I have been to jail other times, but they were only for like a day, a couple hours, city lockup, stuff like that. But the most amount of time that I've spent in jail is 9 days. And even just to touch on that, I went to jail. I remember I was 18 years old. I went to jail. I got down to the precinct. I called my father to come bail me out. And he told me that I got myself there and he wasn't getting out of his bed to come get me. He was tired and that he was going to sleep. And he hung up the phone on me. And it hurt, you know, and to be quite honest with you here, after I hung up the phone down, I was in Ewan Township, after he hung up on me, because in my mind, I expected him to come get me. This was my first time getting arrested at the time. And I was on my way to the workhouse, which is the county jail. I had never been there before. And when he hung up on me, I cried. I broke down. I didn't cry when I got to jail or anything like that. But, you know, after he hung up the phone with me, you know, I shed a few tears because I was heartbroken. And it wasn't that he didn't love me or he didn't care about me. But again, my father is a master teacher. He was teaching me a lesson that if I get myself in trouble, he is not going to be breaking his neck to get me out of trouble. He always said that if I got in trouble doing something that he wanted me to do, then he would stand by me and be there for me. But if I was doing something on my own accord, my own mind, my own actions, and it got me in trouble, that I would have to face those consequences alone. So knowing who my dad is and knowing that he's true to his word, I knew that once I got out of this, that I was never going back to jail again. So, you know, I appreciate my father. I love him more than I can explain in words, and all the times that he's been there for me and all the lessons that I learned through him has been monumental to me. You know, my dad is like a giant, and he allowed me to sit on his shoulders. And that's why I can see the things that I can see now, because I sit upon the shoulders of a giant. So that's why I'm ambitious the way that I am. My father owned his own business. He started his business in 1987, the year that I was born. I was with my dad out in the field working, you know, from as far back as I can remember. And I didn't go to work every single day. Of course, I had school and, you know, I played AAU basketball, travel basketball. You know, him and my mother, you know, afforded me to travel the country and play basketball and, you know, to have, you know, a lot of materialistic things that a lot of kids wasn't, you know, afforded, you know, in our area. You know, I had probably damn near every pair of Jordans that came out, Avirexes, you know, I got my first car when it was time for me to get a car. I mean, although I paid for the car, my dad put that work ethic in me to show me and to teach me how to get that car. My mom also helped me. She co-signed for my first, you know, nicer, newer car. And it's been up, you know, pretty much from there. I've been, you know, riding pretty good ever since. You know, so my parents, you know, established a certain life, you know, for me. And it's been up to me to really keep that up myself, you know, and they gave me all the tools. You know, I've been working not only for my dad, but my first job, I was at Taco Bell. And I got other people jobs there as well, due to, you know, watching my dad, learning from my dad, and also my mom too. My mom has been, you know, I can go on and on about my mom as well too. I've actually have two terrific parents who was there for me, who catered to me, who invested in me, who spent time with me, who spent money on me, who took me places. My dad was a protector. My mom was a nurturer. You know, my dad would teach me hard lessons, and then, you know, if they were too hard, my mom was right there to hold me and to coddle me and to rub my back and all those things. So, you know, I come from two amazing parents. I could not be who I am without them. You know, my mom showed me a whole lot of stuff. She took me places. You know, my dad was making money and was giving it to my mom, you know, to take care of us. My mom took that money and did the right things by us. She took care of me and my sister. Me and my sister had a certain type of lifestyle when we was growing up because, you know, my dad worked, my mom worked, and, you know, my mom has moved on and transitioned to another life. And the lifestyle that my parents, you know, afforded me, I've kept up and I surpassed that. And I'm going to continue to make my parents proud if they are proud. You know, my dad started his business when he was 36 years old. You know, I've actually had my own business now for 6 years. We're going into our seventh year. So I've learned how to be an entrepreneur from watching both my mother and my father. My mom, she used to go up to New York back in the day and get bootleg clothes and come back to the hood and kill them. She also used to get electronics. You know, I was 12 years old and I had the flip phone where I think it was the Motorola StarTAC. But the whole thing was she got the phones from New York, right? So the whole thing was I could make outgoing calls, but I couldn't receive incoming calls. If anybody's seen that movie, I Got the Hookup with Master P, you know, it was kind of like that. You know, we had my mom had the cell phones for sale. You know, she would let people know you can make calls, but you can't receive calls. So if you had a pager, this was, you know, a big thing back in the 90s. You get that boop, boop, boop. You get that page. And instead of going to the payphone, you was able just to pick up your cell phone and make a call right from there. I think I don't remember what my mom was selling these phones for, probably about $100. And my mom would just pull up on any block in any hood and pop the trunk in. You know, she was letting shit go. You know what I mean? Everybody was copping. My mom would have me in the car doing these things. So a lot of my ambition, a lot of my hustle, a lot of my drive, a lot of my consistency, a lot of my determination come directly from both my parents, because my parents got up every single day and got it. I don't remember my dad taking no vacations. He worked every day. I don't remember my mom taking vacations until later in her life, but when we was growing up, me and my sister, I don't remember my mom taking extended vacations, even if she, you know, took off for, you know, 2 weeks, you know, whatever her vacation was at her job, where she broke the days up. And a lot of times she probably had to break the days up because when she was at work and I was in school, you know, I was acting a fool a lot of times. So she had to, you know, call off work and, you know, come get me. And so did my dad too. And, you know, my sister, she was a little sickly. So my mom, you know, probably spent, and my dad did too, but they probably spent all their vacation time or time they had accrued on their jobs, basically making sure that me and my sister was good. You know, my sister was in and out of the hospital all the time. My mom spent, you know, a lot of time, and so did my dad with my sister at the hospital. But I'm just saying that I don't remember my parents going on fancy vacations or doing things like that, because they made sacrifices to take care of us, to make sure that we was okay and everything was all good. So I appreciate my parents. The older that I get, you know, I can say for sure that I'm a spoiled, or I was a spoiled brat. My parents spoiled me. And no, they didn't just do everything I asked them to do, but you know, they did a lot for me. A lot of times I didn't have to ask. You know, it was just provided for me. It was just right there. It was just for me, you know, just to have. So, you know, I appreciate my parents, both of them, more than I can explain on this podcast. I thank the Creator that I was born to, the people that I was born to. So now, you know, I'm a father. a father of three, and I hope that I could be as good of a father to my kids like my dad was to me. And that's one of my biggest goals. That's one of my biggest missions, is to be an excellent father. You know, I live in a house with two kids, and I also have my oldest daughter, who is 18 now, who's down in Georgia, who I don't get to see that much, but I love her dearly. And, you know, I hope that, you know, I hope that my kids have good things to say about me as well. And, you know, being a parent is rough. You don't like everything that your parents do, because some things you just don't understand at the time. You're too young to understand. I could say that a lot of things that my parents did teach me and try to talk to me about, at some of these times, I was just too young to understand what they was trying to tell me. But as I get older here, you know, I'm 36 years old, some of the things that they was trying to tell me then, I could see, you know, clear as day now. And I appreciate the harsh realities. I appreciate the love. I appreciate how hard you were on me, because both my parents was hard on me too. That's another thing. You know, a lot of people think that my parents just did everything for me. My parents would do things for me, and they would show me things, but after that, it was like, yo, I already showed you how to do this. I already taught you how to do this. Why are you still coming to me about this or that? And it's like, I don't get it, because I don't get it. And, you know, at the time, I was still working on my communication. I couldn't really communicate that to them, couldn't convey that to them. But now, looking back on it, it's like, the reason why I kept coming is because, honestly, I didn't get it. I didn't learn the lesson yet. So, you know, you have to bump your head a few times. And I can say that also, I have bumped my head many times. But I will also say, it's not like my parents didn't teach me or try to show me so I wouldn't bump my head, but I had to go off. And, you know, as anybody, you know, you have to learn from your own mistakes. You know, sometimes people can't tell you something. You have to learn them on your own. And I'm learning them on my own. You know, my dad always said, you was born by yourself, you're going to die by yourself. You know, I used to think that family, for example, my dad used to always tell me, family, this family is not what you think it is. And I used to think growing up that family was a big thing. I thought that family meant love and support and this or that. Now, that might mean that in a family nucleus, as far as a mother and a father and then the children, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that spread abroad to the whole family. Now, I mean, so I thought my family was something that is not, but I get it now. It took me so long to learn this particular lesson, because I kept running towards it, and it kept really beating me down and slapping me down. And this is one of the things that took me quite a while to get. You know, I would say that because it took me so long, I could say in this area of my life, I had a learning disability, you know, because the shit would keep biting me in the ass, and I could not understand. But now I could look back and say, damn, my dad used to say that all the time. I didn't understand, but now I get it. I understand, and I understand clearly. And what I have to do with my life now, and there's a lot of us that have to work, that has to learn this lesson yet and still, that, you know, you have to get your priorities straight. The people that you think is going to be there for you and that support you, typically these people do not support you the way that you fantasize about in your mind. At least that's been my personal experience. I've always, especially in the most recent times over the past 10 years, my assistance and my support always come from outside of my family. When I go to my family for support, nobody is there. When my mom died, nobody was there. And I mean nobody. Other people was there for me when my mom died. You know, not anybody blood related to me. I could say that my mom's sister, my Aunt Teresa, is the one that checked on me the most. And that was kind of shocking because I did not think that she cared that much. But the people that I thought that cared and was going to be there, they was not one of them. Nobody called to check on me when my mom died. Not one person. And I have a huge family. I think I got like 4 brothers. You know, my sister, you know, I got, I don't know, something crazy, like 75 first cousins, some astronomical number. And you would think that, you know, somebody, you know, would care, and nobody cared. But also, I kind of like that I spent my darkest days alone too. And that also helped build my character, you know, spending this time alone, or that time alone, because I'm out of that time now. And, you know, now whatever, you know, I achieve, you know, it's going to be up to me whether I want to share these gifts or jewels or not, you know, to my family. Because I can say, like, when I needed y'all the most, where were y'all? I mean, can't nobody say I was there for you, because nobody was there. I had other supporters that was there, for sure, but not the people that I thought was going to be there. But this podcast is not about that. This is about me honoring my mother and my father for all the tremendous things they have done, for everything that they have given, for everything that they have invested. My father was my best friend probably for 32 years, and I appreciate all the direction, all the guidance, all the tools. You know, he taught me how to fish. You know how they say if you give a man a fish, or you teach a man how to fish. You know, my dad definitely taught me how to fish. I have skills that's immeasurable, very valuable, things that I can go out in the real world and perform today and be able to provide for myself and my family. I've also built other skills on top of the skills that my father has given me, which has also been paying a great dividends. So, you know, just if it wasn't for him and my mom being there the way that they was there, you know, mainly all the time, except for when they was trying to teach me a lesson, you know, it's greatly appreciated. It's heartfelt. You know, I have an excellent father, excellent mother, phenomenal people. You know, my father is a pillar in the community, and my mother was also a pillar in her own right. Somebody was talking about my mom this week. You know, she was such a giver. She was such a lover. She would do anything for anybody if she could. And, you know, I just have to be grateful, and I am grateful and thankful that, you know, that these two people came together and made my sister and I am forever grateful. And that's the Tyson James Podcast. I'm out.